Rooted in Revenue with your host today, Susan Finch.
And my guest, Debbie Davis, is back to continue our series. Debbie is the owner and operator of 3D Communications AI.com. And I have her talking to us about analyzing processes for companies, how to improve them, and along the way, improving communication so everybody isn't wasting their time. The last episode we talked about, the first one in this series, I loved it. And we talked about frame, focus, and follow through. And so part of follow through, it dovetails into this next topic, which is you can't manage what you don't measure, right? We all know that. And I promised you in the last episode, this isn't just about, do you have Google Analytics set up? No, this isn't just about that. This is going to be beyond that. And we're going to talk about concepts and qualities to numbers and quantities that inform your data-driven decisions to drive your business growth. Isn't that what we want to do? That's what we do in Rooted in Revenue. We're all rooted in making more money and being efficient. And personally, I like making money in my sleep. So Debbie, welcome back. I'm so glad you're here again.
Thank you, Susan. It's really good to be here. And I have the opportunity to talk about yet another topic that I am super passionate about. So again, you just give me that sign in case I go on too long, because I might.
Oh my goodness. So I want to know, I know what you can't manage what you don't measure. Most of us in marketing know. Most of us in sales know this. I can't think of anybody involved in a leadership role in a business that doesn't believe that, or if they don't, they better, because otherwise you could be wasting valuable resources, time, money, efforts, and missing ideal opportunities. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say so. And I think the fact that we do all already know this, we sometimes get in this mindset that it's so simple, it's so well known, why bother? So that's what happens, is that people start managing, and they forget about the measurement point. They can be reminded, and that's what I'm here for today. You can't manage what you don't measure. And I don't know if anyone notices this, I love alliterations, frame, focus, follow through. You can't manage what you don't measure. I like it when it's quippy and makes it easy. It simplifies what is sometimes turns out to be just a really complex, impractical approach. So you can't manage what you don't measure. So what does that mean? Way back, I'm not even going to say how many years ago, when I started in consulting, I was in employee research, and measuring stuff was our job. Yeah. A lot of the stuff we measured was opinion, or we would go through interviews and get people to tell us stories about their experiences. But reporting that back to the people who are paying our consulting bill and the people who needed to act on the information that we just gathered through surveys and interviews, it needed to be pretty concise and easy to digest. So it needed to be in numbers. It needed to all be quantifiable. And everyone has taken a survey right on the scale of 1 to 5. So that is a step toward quantifying things. But then you also have to take in some of that qualitative information and fold that into the quantitative information so that you can make your point. You can either inform people into making decisions, or just, you know, giving them the state of the state. But putting things into number format is really, really powerful in persuading and informing and educating. It is a tool. So you can't manage what you don't measure. I learned when they needed to be able to see something they could measure before they could manage it, because we were going to a leadership team or something about a business problem. So that's how my first exposure to it. And then it just went on from there. I just started measuring everything. And anybody who's got a bank account, anybody who uses a calendar, anybody who has a gas gauge on their car, they're measuring all the time.
What a great way to phrase that, or to give me the word pictures for that. We don't realize how much we measure, qualify, quantify throughout our entire day. But you're talking about numbers and being a creative I need to see pictures. I need to see charts that are simple to understand in, you know, in a quick glance, just nutshell it for me. And then if I want the deep dives, I can get those.
Exactly. And those charts can't come about by somebody who's good with a colored pencil and a piece of graph paper. Those charts come about based on data.
Right.
So it's really important to be collecting your data. It's really important to be organizing your data. It's really important to know why you're collecting the data so that you know how to organize that data. So you have to ask yourself, well, why am I spending all this time figuring out this system I'm going to use to collect all this data? What am I going to do with it? Is it going to enhance my life? Is it going to make me better at what I do or whatever your objective is? So anyways, but that data comes in someplace. So know how you're going to use it, know how you're going to collect it, and, you know, make a commitment then to actually use it the way you meant
to. Okay. Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because this is the thing that happens. I have, you know, clients like, okay, guys, we're making your website. Okay. We're going to set up Google Analytics. So we're going to do this. We'll put all these things in place to measure. Oh, you use HubSpot. Okay. We're going to track this. We're going to track that. And then it's done for a lot of them. They never go look at it again. The data has been collected, which is good, because if anybody slips into those leadership roles and says, I want the data, got it. We can get that for you. But I find 7 out of 10 times, nobody even looks at it. They know they need to collect it. They know it's probably important. It might give them insight. They don't have the time. They don't have the interest. They don't know how to extract what they actually want from it. They don't know how to set it up to ask the questions. So we're going to get into what you really love in just a minute. They don't know how to configure the dashboards and analytics or question the data. They might be using Power BI or something to put the data in there and tell those data stories. But if you don't know how to ask the questions to frame the story, it's not going to do you any good, because nobody's going to understand the story or what to do with the story. And that is truly what data is. Data is a story. It's a factual story.
Data is the answer to questions, but you're right. I mean, it gets down to, what if you don't know the questions to ask?
That, or what if you want to manipulate it because you need it to have a certain outcome?
Okay, well, that's a problem.
That's a different thing, but I see that though too. It's like, oh, I'm only going to pull these four things because that makes me look good. And I'm going to omit these. The other thing is, who's measuring to what goals?
To what goals, yep.
And who can be unbiased in the measurements to tell an accurate, honest story that might need further explanation?
Right. Now you're getting into a deeper level than we've got time for on this podcast.
I know. It's just, it's on my mind a lot, because I work with Connect and Sell, and I work with Tom Jung over there, and he tells honest data stories. And so that, to me, it's measure it, yes. But just like you had frame, focus, and follow through in the last one, what's your little mantra going to be for measure it, set it up, measure it, and then what's the story?
That actually goes back to the first part of my alliteration, manage.
Yes.
What does manage mean to you? If you were to ask that question at the beginning, when you're framing, what does manage mean to you? How are you going to manage? What do you need to manage? What are the outcomes that need to come out of your management? Who's involved in it? Is it going to require data? I'm going to say the answer there is yes. And then, because it always does, you can't manage what you don't measure. So then you think about what kind of data and how is that person going to use that data to achieve the outcomes that your whole purpose for managing, you know, is expecting or is aiming for. We're all professionals who have had to work. It's all strategic. I promised myself I wasn't going to use that word strategy, but it really is all about putting together a plan. So the data has to help you manage, but if you don't know what you're managing, you don't know what data or how to put that data together. And then you're right. A lot of people then forget that they were managing it in the first place and they just let it sit. And right. That is, oh, what a waste of time. And don't get me on that, time management. We're going to talk about that in another episode. But don't waste your time collecting a bunch of data in the wrong format for the wrong reasons if you don't really have a plan for how you're going to manage that data.
and I don't want to just think, you and I work with a lot of SaaS companies, and we work with other tight HR firms, we work with credit unions, you know, we have different things, but I work a lot with real estate brokers, and they have data at their fingertips from their MLSs, from different tools that they use or participate in. And they need to have that same kind of thing. What kind of market data could they bring in to be able to adjust their marketing plan, their strategies, their focus? Where are they seeing an opportunity? So it isn't just the data they are collecting themselves within their offices, but it's what data resources can you tap into that can also give you a better picture? How can you use those tools? And I'm sure, because I know you, and when you and I are working together, you ask me, what tools are you using? What can you get into? What can you grab? What do you have access to? And that's all for that picture, to be able to set something up to measure and manage, to be able to analyze it and then implement that follow through from the previous episode, to be able to implement it into something that can give me an edge, put me ahead of somebody else. Where am I falling down? Where am I missing an opportunity?
And what I'd like to do here is just encourage people right now to take, maybe you're thinking about this and you're like, oh, it's making my head hurt. And how do I do all this data? And you know what, let's walk off into a dream state for a moment. Let's dream about, what if I had this data? What could I do with it? You know, almost reverse engineering. You'd say that there's people like, okay, they've got all the data, now they're not doing anything with it. What if you were thinking about it in a different frame? If I had this data, I could do this with it. I could do this to increase my reach, or I could do this to improve my product. I could do this to solve this one problem that I'm having. What if I had this data? I encourage you to think about that right now, because at the pace that AI is advancing, it is becoming more and more capable of collecting and organizing data that, like, almost beyond our comprehension. So that's why I say dream. Pretend like there are no limits to what you can do with data. What kind of data would you like to have? And think about that, because next week AI is going to be able to deliver it to you. So that is just to give, just to kind of free up your brain for a moment. If you feels like your head is hurting, talking about get your data and then organize it and then have a plan for managing it. What if you didn't have to think about all your restrictions? Without restriction, what kind of data would you like to have to do the things that you want to do? And that might help you just get more innovative, creative about how data and what you want, what you have to manage, are associated. And it might help to just kind of reinforce your resolve to keep those things together, manage and measure, and then manage and measure, and keep that working through your regular process.
What I like about that dream state and coming up with what you want, it will also help, whether you guys have Debbie help you or somebody else, or maybe you guys are capable of doing it on your own, I don't know, picking the tools that fit that desire, that goal, that wish, that dream, because not all of them can. And it doesn't mean next week they won't. It was kind of like recently I'm working with an author, and Jodale Carruthers, and Jodale, we set her up in GetResponse because at the time I wasn't happy with Constant Contact. So we did that, but now it's shifted. And now more GetResponse ends up in spam for whatever reasons. And so now she wants to switch back to Constant Contact. It's reevaluating those tools for her goal. Her goal, I want to send emails to people that want to receive them from me, and it ends up in their inbox. That's a goal. I don't want it in spam. I don't want it blocked. I want to make sure they see it and they're intrigued enough to open it, because I have cool things for them as an author. You know, that's one of her simple goals. That's a very logical goal.
Yeah, it is a logical goal. I'm not so sure how simple it is, because there's a lot that goes into determining that, the quality of the email, how big is her list.
Right. Well, we did A/B testing.
Yes. Okay. So all sorts of, so again, not simple. You did, you
right, you're right,
put some work into it. And so that's what is required. So yeah, I think everybody's capable of doing a lot all on their own, but don't try to because you've got other stuff to do. You know, get help doing some of this stuff.
Right.
But then you make a really important point, particularly at this stage in the game where we are being overwhelmed with options for using tools, particularly AI-infused tools or AI tools, and we're overwhelmed with it. How do you know? Here's the great thing is that most of these tools, a lot of them are simply being infused into your current software. We're finding that all the time. You've got
Google, Adobe,
you've got a
Microsoft,
writer assistant in there and somebody's, you know, some kind of AI thing happening. That's the intelligent automation part of it. But then there's all these other claims by other AI tools. And most of them have a free version that you can work with for 30 days. And I encourage you to do that. That's what all of us need to be doing. Collectively, we all need to be testing these tools out, experimenting, and then sharing with each other, that was great or that was a waste of time. This is a frontier. That's the only way we're going to learn. So get out there with this experimental mindset and experiment, and then be ready to change. You've got to remain flexible, you know, kind of like you said, you constant contact to get response to back again. Be ready. But if you're fluent in technology, which most of us are fairly fluent using our tools, these are day-to-day tools that you're talking about,
right.
You know, email management and database management and things like that. Professionals can pretty much figure out, you know, what to click and what to point at and all that sort of thing. So, but be ready for that. Don't get frustrated by it. Expect it that you're going to have to, if you want to stay competitive and you want to stay at the cutting edge, you have to have a certain resilience for switching after 30 days if it's not working for you. Set yourself some short time frames. Talk about managing and measuring. Measure your time. How long have I been using this tool and how long have I been saying it stinks?
Right.
You've been saying it stinks for a year. It's time to stop.
So, I know we discarded a tool of mine that I've been using for a few years because it did not do what it had originally done.
Yep.
And so I was wasting a lot of time and effort, and it's not
and money.
And money. It was not inexpensive. And so letting go, you know, of AgoraPulse for us, that was a decision we had to make. And we decided that we are, for the number of clients that have contracted with us to do that for them, we're going to do it native and we're going to schedule it because now LinkedIn has schedulers, Facebook has schedulers. There are schedulers now within the systems that will allow us to make better use of our time. You know, so
yes, a lot of technology is going to be obsolete. And that's another reason why not to make, you know, an annual commitment to some of these tools, because they're going to be obsolete because LinkedIn is infusing a certain degree of AI into their tool.
Right.
It just seems to make sense and people are using it and it's working for them. And so, yeah, that's the AI infused part where some of the software that we've been using for years is just getting smarter because of AI.
Yeah.
That's what AI is smarter software. And a lot of the software that we're used to using is getting smarter, meaning we don't have to have all these additional add-on tools. So just another way to kind of look at things, you know, again, we put together a spreadsheet. What tool are you using for which use case? How often do you use that tool and how much are you spending on it? You know, that's a measurement.
That is a measurement. And I really appreciate the fact you said, do not sign up for the annual work because you won't get the money back. You might save 20%. You might save 30%, but you are stuck. And then you are also going to begrudgingly not change because it's like, I already paid for it. And going month to month allows you to adjust, say, oh, look at LinkedIn does that now. So I don't need to pay for that.
Right.
And Facebook has incorporated that. And these things are talking to each, and it just keeps evolving. Pay for your business professional memberships for organizations. Get that discount. Yes. Pay for those types of things, maybe magazine subscriptions, you know, or newspaper subscriptions to get that rate. Fine, because you're always going to want those. But as far as technology goes, folks, slow down. I love saving money like anybody else, especially for my nonprofit. I am constantly trying to save us money, but I end up wasting money and not using the best tools or continuing the test because I've paid for it. It's like, I've committed, I'm done. I use Perplexity, I use Claude. I use a few others, but I pay month to month for that specific reason, because I've already, you know, for me, for now, I'm not doing ChatGPT Pro. I'm not doing the high version of it because I switched over to Perplexity, so I didn't need that. And with Claude, it fills in gaps, even though Perplexity uses Claude as well, but it doesn't use it the same way. And so I'm learning what works for me, for my...
And this is us at a time when AI technology is advancing at a pace that we can't even fathom anymore. Every time I turn on my favorite podcasts about AI, I'm just like, oh my God. But so it almost seems like an oxymoron, but because the pace of technology is going so fast, you need to, and you use this phrase, slow down. You don't have to commit in long term. You need to remain flexible and you need to just slow down a little bit, because something new and better may turn up tomorrow and you want to have the option to be able to make that change. And this is just us adjusting our work styles to accommodate what's happening with technology. Yep. And I think it's a really good piece of advice. Slow down a little bit, use what you absolutely need to, and don't get overcommitted because something better could come along, or what you've chosen could be obsolete in 6 months.
Or unsupported, or they could go in the tanker. I mean, they're all different things. Yeah. You know, some favorite resume words when I evaluate resumes and stuff, nimble and agile. Those are good words. Have your company remain that as well, to be able to flow, to still meet that I have a dream and I want this dream of my data to do these things. Whenever you're checking back to the measuring, checking back to the data in this, how this conversation started, remain nimble, agile, and slow down. As long as you're measuring it, you'll be able to figure it out. And as long as you have that data, you can bring it into something else if you find something that serves your needs and goals better.
That's exactly right. By measuring, you always have a gauge. And it's a way for you to gauge whether you're gauging the progress or the lack of progress, or gauging the number of opportunities that are coming in or not coming. But you, in order to manage that, in order to gauge it, you have to be measuring it. So think about what systems or processes you'll put in place to measure. You're always going to want to measure everything from probably a number of different angles.
I like the visuals. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie, for continuing this series with me. And just so you guys know, go back and listen to the previous episode with Debbie Davis about frame, focus, and follow through. And our next in our series is going to be the future of time management and productivity, because I want more time to do fun stuff. I am tired of having my day dictated to me for tedious tasks. I'm actually looking for a couple people to do some tedious tasks for me, because I can't do it with AI. I have to do it with humans on this one piece of it, but it can be AI assisted, generative AI assisted. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be doing that, but that's what we're going to be talking about. So I'm hoping that these are giving you some things to think about. You can go find Debbie Davis on LinkedIn. She is D-E-B-I Davis, or you can go to 3dcommunicationsai.com and connect with her there. Anything she offers you to subscribe to, get on her newsletter list, whatever she does, just follow Debbie. You will be so happy you did. I know I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Never miss an episode. Check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.